Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Having people, this series on getting dressed spiritually is helping you to be more conscious of spiritual things. Because that's the whole purpose of it, is to become more conscious of spiritual things, you know. Just like in the natural we eat, just like in the natural we get dressed, in the spirit we eat, in the spirit we get dressed. In fact, another thing we do a lot in the natural, daily we do, is sleep. And what do you go to get sleep for? To get rest. Rest. Do you know that sleep isn't always the way to get rest? The Bible says over in Hebrews, the 4th chapter, that he who believes has entered the rest. There's a spiritual rest that we need to be receiving. We need to know to go to sleep at night and get physical rest, but we also need to know how to rest spiritually. And we rest spiritually by feeding our faith. Sometimes we think, well, I can't get up and get in the Word and pray. Man, I need to get some rest. That's exactly why you need to get up and get in the Word. It's so that you can get some rest. Because real rest starts in the Spirit. Just like man does not live physically by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, man doesn't live by sleeping, but by resting. In faith, resting in faith. And when you get in the Word of God, it builds up your faith. So there's been times, you know, I'm just so tired. And I think, man, I need to stay in bed and get some more rest. And then I think, well, I will get rest by getting out of bed and getting in the Word. Getting in the Word can be like getting in bed. It'll bring you rest. And in fact, sometimes people stay in bed too long. And they neglect their spiritual rest and actually end up more worn out. So, you know, again, a lot of times people think, you know, I shouldn't be hungry, but they just keep eating. And it's because their spirit's hungry. And they're substituting their spiritual food for natural food. And that just gets you all bogged down. Next thing you know, you walk around, you ate too much. And that doesn't feel good. When you overeat, that doesn't feel good. And then if you oversleep, that doesn't feel good either. Let me think, I'm going to take a nap. I've taken a nap, and I woke up, I felt like somebody was beating me with a 2x4. You know, I woke up just more worn out, you know? Well, then I know what the problem is. No, my spirit needed some rest. I needed to feed my faith on the Word of God. So it's the same thing with getting dressed. We need to view getting dressed spiritually just like we do physically. You don't want to go out of your house undressed spiritually. You want to make sure that you are clothing yourself spiritually. And there's all kinds of clothing that we are to put on. And the scriptures has a lot to say about this. We were looking over in review. We were looking over in Isaiah 61. And in verse 10, it declares, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. So there are spiritual garments that you and I are to wear, and here they're referred to as the garments of salvation. So this salvation that God has given to us through Jesus Christ is something we're to wear, which means it's something we need to put on, and we need to regularly make sure that we're wearing these clothes of salvation. We got to make sure we're putting them on all the time. So you check up on yourself. After you fix yourself up all nice in the natural, then you need to, instead of just run out the door off to where you're going, stop. Begin to worship God and begin to think about your salvation And think about your deliverance, because salvation means deliverance from every evil thing. And so you think about what he's done for you, and you wait upon him, and you become conscious of it until you're wearing it. You're wearing it. And then when you're conscious of it, you're clothed in it, and you're able to walk in it. We don't want to just go running out and leave our salvation in the drawer. We want to make sure we took time and made ourselves conscious of our salvation, and we put it on. And then Isaiah 52, verse 1, it says, "Awake, awake, put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For the uncircumcised and the unclean shall no longer come to you." So here he's telling us, wake up, put you got some things to put on. Don't just lie there. Make sure you put on what? Your strength. How do you put it on? Well, like I just said, bring yourself into an awareness of God's strength. Bring yourself into an awareness of your salvation and begin to talk it. Begin to speak it out of your mouth. And that's how you put it on. That's how you put on your salvation. We believe it in our hearts, and then confession is made unto salvation. Confession is made unto salvation, or into salvation. So when we're confessing it, we're stepping into it. We're putting ourselves in it. Now, you just go all day without confessing your salvation, and there's a good chance that some of your garments have come loose and have even fallen off. In fact, if you weren't paying attention, there's a devil who wants your clothes, and he'll rip them off you if you're not paying attention. He'll get you in strife, and as you're fussing about stuff, he's stripping you of clothing. That's why Jesus said over in Revelation chapter 16, in verse 15, he said, "Behold, I'm coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." So spiritual nakedness is shameful. And again, he says, you got to watch. You got to watch. You can't just be casual about these things and not conscious of these things, because there's a devil that wants to take your garments from you. You got to keep them. So how do you keep them? How do you keep your garments on? I mean, you know, throughout the day you might have to, you know, fix your shirt. It came untucked. It's coming loose. Got to tuck the thing back in. You know, there might be some things. You got to tuck them back in. You don't want to just keep walking on, because these things can be just coming off you as you become more and more conscious of natural things. The natural world around you and the spirit world, you know, becomes more and more vague to you. And you're not really seeing spiritual things. You're just seeing you and everyone else according to the flesh. Then all these spiritual garments are falling off you. So you want to hang on to them, all right? I'm tired of driving down Spiegel Lane here and seeing all these garments in the road. You know, I'm sitting there weaving in and out. You know, you got this robe over here and this garment over here. And, you know, people just, as they're driving out of here, talking about natural things, they'd immediately begin to forget the things they just heard. And they start talking everything else under the sun. God's not in the conversation. And what are they doing? They're stripping themselves. They're just throwing these things off. Yeah, it might sound funny, but it's really, there's a reality to these things. You know, it isn't just figurative. There really are spiritual clothes that you and I literally wear in the spirit, because we are literally spirits. So this isn't just figurative. This is truth. It's the truth. So we got to watch, because we just start confessing a bunch of wrong things, and we're stripping ourselves. Of God's things. And you don't want to strip yourself of God's things, because that makes you vulnerable to demons, devils, right? But I love what he says here in Isaiah 52. He says, put on your strength, put on your beautiful garments, For the uncircumcised or the unclean shall no longer come to you. You know, demons, Jesus referred to many demons as unclean spirits. Unclean spirits. He says, put on your beautiful garments. They repel unclean spirits. They won't want to come near you. But you walk around naked and vulnerable spiritually, and you start wearing or start putting on the things of the world and start looking real worldly, start dressing worldly, and the devil starts lusting for you. When you dress like the world spiritually, the devil starts lusting for you. That's what Jesus said to Simon Peter. He said to Peter, he said, Simon, he says, Satan has asked for you. Another translation says, he has desired you that he might sift you as wheat. And literally there, this desire is a lustful desire. Satan, in other words, is lusting for you, Peter. He's asking for you that he might sift you as wheat. He's lusting after you. And, of course, why would that be? Well, Peter was walking in a lot of pride. He was walking in a lot of pride. And even at that moment, Jesus is warning him. Soon after, turns around and tells Jesus, though everyone denies you, I would never deny, I'd never betray you. And Jesus warned him, said, this night you're going to do it three times. He still didn't believe it. He was all self-confident. He was all into himself. He wasn't trusting in God. He was in the flesh. So he was spiritually undressed, naked, vulnerable, and very attractive to the devil. So that the devil was lusting for Peter. I don't want the devil lusting after me. I want the devil afraid of me. When the devil looks at me, I don't want him drooling. I want him going, I want him choking on his drool. Don't you? I want him choking on his drool. He don't want to come near me. I got the cooties. I got the demon cooties. Unclean demons won't come near you. Isn't that beautiful? Why? Because you're wearing God's strength. You got your beautiful garments on. You got your garments of salvation on. Unclean demons, they don't want to be around you. Then in Isaiah 61, verse 3, we preach the gospel to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So here again, he talks about garments, clothing, things we can put on. He talks about giving us beauty. What is that beauty? Well, going back to Isaiah 52:1, beautiful garments. That's the beauty. So he gives us beautiful garments as the gospel's being preached. As the gospel, in its context, he's talking about the gospel being preached. It's to console and it's to give them beauty for beautiful garments. So as the gospel's being preached tonight, what's happening? You're coming into an awareness of your salvation. You're becoming aware of spiritual things and you are receiving and putting on beautiful garments and being beautified, being made to look good spiritually. How many people know we need to be spiritually attractive? Not just physically attractive. We don't just need people attracted to our flesh. That doesn't get anybody very far. We need people to be attracted to us spiritually so that they have a spiritual hunger and desire for God's things, God's salvation, God's righteousness. We want people to be drawn to us spiritually, not just looking at us according to the flesh or liking us according to the flesh. So we got to put on our beautiful garments. It scares devils away and it attracts those who are inclined towards God, are inclined towards the Word of God. It attracts them. He gives them beauty for ashes and the oil of joy. Hallelujah. Joy is an oil. It's an oil. I have felt it, praise the Lord, coming down on top of my head. You don't always have to feel it, but thank God. It's real. And if you could see in the spirit, oh my goodness. There's oil running here. It's good stuff. Got to put your oil on. It's the oil of joy for mourning. Praise God. In other words, there's oil that deals with grief. Anybody that's dealing with grief or sorrow, put your oil on. Put your oil on. Gets the grief and sorrow off. You know, demons are behind excessive grief and sorrow. They'll get you grieving and sorrowful and mourning about your life and mourning and just feeling desperate and depressed. Put the oil of joy on. It's a demon repellent. It's a grief repellent. All these things that God gives us, it's a part of salvation, and it repels demons. It repels unclean things. So put a little dab on. Hallelujah. Laugh a little. Put some joy on. Be happy. Have a little kick in your step. If you lost your kick, get out your bottle. Get your oil on. How do I do that? Become conscious of your salvation. Thank you, Jesus, I'm saved. Thank you, God. Ooh, I'm going to heaven. Let that sink in a little bit. Let that come on you now. That consciousness, that awareness, that praise God, there's more to life than this. Hoo, 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 glory to God. And there's still hope in this life too. Because if God be for me, who can be against me? I mean, you just start talking like that. What are you doing? You're oiling yourself up. But see, you got to put it on. You got to put it on. You can't just let these things sit. You can't just let the oil just sit there on your dresser. You got to put it on. You got to make it happen. God's given you everything you need to make it happen. So somebody say, I'm going to start making it happen. Like never before. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That lethargic, lazy, I mean, life-draining demon. Get him off you. How do I do it? Hallelujah. Praise him. It's a garment. Put that garment on by lifting your voice to God. And again, demons have heaviness, will have to go. And then, of course, you know, the anointing itself is likened to a mantle we talked about, right? We see that throughout the Old Testament, that it's like a mantle that you wear. And the anointing, the Bible says, destroys yokes and removes burdens. So again, put it on. Begin to declare, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. My God has anointed me with fresh oil. I am anointed of the Holy Spirit. I'm anointed of God. I'm an anointed one. I'm a Christian. That's what a Christian is. Christ means anointed. Anointed one. And so a Christian is an anointed one. So we're anointed ones. So you say, I'm an anointed one. Praise the Lord. See, that'll keep yokes off your neck. Get burdens off of you. It'll destroy them, glory be to God. Now, of course, we didn't look at the scripture because so many folks, you know it so well. But it's Ephesians chapter 6, where it says in verse 8, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, not your own might, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Put it on. See, again, put on the armor and it'll deal with the devil. I'm so glad I don't have to fight with the devil. I don't have to fight with the devil. There's so many Christians running around to fight with the devil. The devil. Would you just go ahead and put some oil on and put some praise garments on and put your salvation garment on? Put the whole armor of God on? Just declare I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I set my mind on things above and not on the earth. Praise God. I walk by faith and not by sight. I walk in the Spirit and I don't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You declare these things and it does all the work for you. It takes care of the devil. We don't have all this worrying about the devil. It's easy to deal with the devil. You understand how easy it is? Praise God to walk in victory. It's as easy as getting dressed. I don't know if it's sinking in. Walking in victory is as easy as getting dressed. Is it that hard to get dressed? It's not hard to walk in victory either. It's not hard to overcome the devil either. It's not hard to get things cleaned up and cleared out of your life. Just consistently get dressed. Consistently put your clothes on. That's all you got to do. Things can change in your life as fast as you can change your outfit. Now these problems are so deep. It's gonna take a long time to get through this. It's as easy, it can be as quick as changing your clothes. How fast can you change your garment? That's exciting to me. That was an answer right there. It's as easy as changing your clothes. Well, then why has it been so hard? You haven't been changing your clothes. Believe me. You know, I leave folks in a little confession, you know, they get a little scarf on. You know? Some folks, they just get a little scarf on and they think, well, I did it. I clothed myself. You're wearing a scarf. It's not going to work. It's not enough. Let's finish the job. Right? And some people get the thing all out of order, too. Some people, they just put their tie on, that's it. No shirt, just a tie. Imagine running around with just a tie on. Not good. You devil. Devil's going to look and say, that guy's weird like us. He seems pretty cool. Let's hang out at his house and torment him. I'm just telling you. Romans 13:14. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. What are you supposed to put on here? The Lord Jesus. Praise God, you put on the Lord Jesus. Glory be to God. How do you do it? How do you put him on? By what you say. We dress in what we confess. We dress in what we confess. You're wearing your confession. You're wearing your clothing. And that's why that works for the negative too. We talked about Psalm 109 verse 18. As he clothed himself with cursing as with a garment, so let it enter his body like water and like oil into his bones. Notice he clothed himself with cursing as with a garment. See what you're saying you're clothing yourself with. So you don't want to clothe yourself with bad things. Verse 29, he says, let my accusers be clothed with shame and let them cover themselves with their own disgrace as with a mantle. So you don't want to be clothed with disgrace. You don't want to be clothed with shame. And again, what is the shame? Nakedness. Remember Jesus said that in Revelation 16:15. He says, keep your garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. So shame and nakedness go together. So here he says, be clothed with shame and let them cover themselves with their own disgrace. Clothe themselves with shame is basically clothing themselves with nothing. So, but thank God, if we can clothe ourselves with cursing, we can clothe ourselves with blessing. Right? So we need to rise up and bless ourselves in the Lord. Somebody say, I'm blessed coming in. And I'm blessed going out. Hallelujah. And you see, just like it says, these curses will seep into your bones like oil. Blessings will seep into your bones like oil. Keep your bones oiled. They won't get brittle. Keep your bones strong by what you say. Life and death. Remember, life and death is in the power of the tongue. What's going out of your mouth is going to determine your strength in life. So make sure you're oiled up and looking good for God. I want to look good for God. The more you look good for God, the more you have favor with God. If you're walking in his salvation, walking in his beautiful garments, you've been beautified spiritually, you're wearing his anointing and the fragrance of Christ, and you've lathered yourself, sprayed yourself up really good, oh man, you're going to have favor. You're going to have favor with God. You're going to be able to walk into his presence with greater confidence and be able to receive the things you have need of from him. So we want to look good spiritually. And we see more of that over here in 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter, the third chapter. And it says here in verse 3, do not let your beauty be the outward adorning of arranging the hair, of wearing gold, or of putting on fine apparel. But let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible ornament of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. So here again, he's telling you, don't focus on beautifying yourself outwardly. He says, focus in on beautifying yourself spiritually. Now here, of course, he's written in its context. It starts off in verse 1, see, talking about wives. So he's talking about wives. He's talking about basically how a wife, a woman, ought to conduct herself. But it's good for everybody. These are all good things for all of us to apply to our life. But many times, women more than men get more caught up in how they look and in beautifying themselves. They sure do a lot more work than most men to get themselves fixed up. How many people would agree that's the truth? I mean, my goodness, the eyes and dear Lord, thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, the whole thing. Now, some religious people, they have taken this to mean, well, you know, you shouldn't wear makeup. Women shouldn't wear makeup. And they got women walking around stiff as pokers and beanies on their head and bonnets. But there's a lot of folks that don't believe you're supposed to be putting any kind of makeup on or doing anything to beautify yourself because that's what the Bible says. That's not what the Bible said. The Bible didn't say that at all. The Bible says that's not to be the focus. Don't focus on outward beautification. Don't focus on that. Focus on spiritual things. That doesn't mean don't wear jewelry. Because if he's saying don't wear jewelry and don't wear makeup, then he's also saying don't wear clothing. Because that's all part of what he's saying here. So, no, he wants you to wear clothing. And he wants your hair to look nice. He's not wanting your hair to look like last year's bird nest. I think that's a terrible thing. I don't think that's taking care of God's property, which is his temple. Right? I think a lot of care, a lot of love and care went into the temple that Solomon built. True? Thing was adorned with all kinds of jewels, man. It was adorned with gold and every other precious thing. And that temple was a type of the temple of the New Testament, which is our body. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, God doesn't live in a place of stone. He lives in us, those who believe in him. So where is temple? Well, if he took care of the Old Testament temple and was concerned about beautifying that, making it look magnificent, well, how much more does he care about his temple today? He still cares about his temple today. So you could fix the thing up. I had an instructor out at Bible school. Doc Horton was his name. And he used to say, you know, a little lipstick, plastic, and paint to make you look like something you ain't, I'm all for it. Right? No, God's not offended by it. God's not uptight. She's wearing lipstick. Those nails. Like this makes God nervous. Or God looks and goes, good, she's wearing the bonnet. Now she has my approval. I mean, is God really? No, he's not. Very sad. People have turned God into something that's just very sad. Oh, he's telling us, do not let your adornment be merely outward. But again, adornment. Don't let it be merely outward. In other words, there is an adornment, an adorning of oneself that is not just outward. There's another adorning of oneself. And he says in verse 5, for in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. So again, that's all part of this gentle and quiet spirit, this gentle, quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. God is, he looks at our heart more than our outward. That doesn't mean he doesn't care about our outward appearance. He doesn't care about us physically. He cares about every aspect of our life. But first and foremost is the condition of our spirit. He cares more about that. And we need to think like him and realize that is number one. Spiritual things are the most important thing in life, more than physical things. And so, yeah, we are to adorn, which means to beautify ourselves. Women need to beautify themselves spiritually. Spiritually. Make yourself look good spiritually. Fix yourself up spiritually. There's a scripture in Proverbs that says, you know, a beautiful woman, physically beautiful woman, who lacks discretion is like a gold ring in a pig's snout. I'm just quoting the Bible to you. You know, she's beautiful outward, but she lacks discretion. She doesn't walk in the spirit. And as a result of that, she's like a gold, beautiful ring that's located in a pig's snout. Not very pretty, right? Not a nice thing to see. That'd be very strange to see. You can keep the gold ring. That's nice. But let's get rid of piggy. Nothing worse than a piggy woman. Right? Nothing worse than a piggy woman. Right? You know what I'm talking about. Okay. Okay, Margaret. Okay. Okay, Margaret. Okay, whatever you want, Margaret. Nothing worse than that. She comes out of the bathroom all fixed up, you know. And she's ready to go out and roll in the mud. Let's roll in the mud tonight. Jesus. Boy, she's a fine-looking woman. Right? She looks beautiful, but it's like she's just rolling in the mud. Dirty, dirty, dirty. Dirty woman. Terrible. Bad attitude, right? Bad attitude, bad everything. Just bad lifestyle. Bad stuff. Terrible. He says, rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart. With an incorruptible beauty. Ooh, an incorruptible beauty. An incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. Praise God. Gentle. Everybody say gentle. That word also means meekness. Humility. Talking about meekness, we're talking about humility and quietness. That's peaceable, tranquil, quiet, calm, peaceful. You're trusting in God. You're not trusting in yourself. You're not worried and anxious about your life. You're not full of gossip and all kinds of ugly comments and things like that. Peaceful, tranquil. Don't let anything take your peace away from you. It makes you look ugly. It makes you look ugly. Don't let anybody make you look ugly. Don't let the circumstances of life rob you of your good looks. I'm not being vain. I'm talking about spiritual looks. Don't let anything rob you of your spiritual looks. Stay tranquil. Stay peaceful no matter what happens. Keep your garment on. Keep your nice, beautiful clothes on. Keep yourself looking good. Thank God for every say meekness, humility. Right. Now, see, walking in humility is not walking homely. See? Because, you know, the world, pride boasts about itself. And it's all into itself. We'll just go to Facebook. But isn't that what Hollywood's all about? Right? And they walk in pride. And they think that's being beautiful. So people think that's being beautiful. Being haughty. Being proud. Prideful. That's a beautiful thing. So then being humble would be being homely. Where you're just plain. You're just ordinary. Unattractive. Not going to catch anybody's eye. Overlooked. That would be being humble, but no, not according to the Word of God. You might be overlooked by swine. You might be overlooked by people that are just looking for dirt. But that's a good thing. Praise God, let all the dirt seekers go somewhere else. I don't need dirt seekers following me. I don't need dirty people following me. Do you? No. So, being clothed with humility, being clothed with humility is attractive to God. It's attractive spiritually to spiritual people or people that are inclined towards spiritual things. I'm talking about like unsaved people. They're not saved, they're not spiritual, but they are inclined towards spiritual things. All right? And we see that humility actually is something that we are to wear, and it's right here in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. So there it is. Be what? Clothed with humility. For God resists the proud. Pride is repulsive to God. But gives grace to the humble. See again, humility. When you put humility on, that attracts God. That attracts the angels. That attracts grace to you. So remember, if you can be clothed with humility, the opposite of that is pride. So then there's being clothed with pride. And if you put on pride, what is that going to attract? That's going to attract every negative thing into your life. I don't know if we hit the scripture at any point or not, but James chapter 3, hold your place there in Peter. It just fits. James, the third chapter, verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Meekness of wisdom. And again, meekness is humility, and humility is spiritual clothing. So wisdom, we can wear wisdom. Because that's a part of meekness. Meekness is a part of wisdom. It's all spiritual clothing. He said, make sure what you're doing is done in the clothing of meekness. Do what you do being clothed with meekness. Verse 14, but if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above. You can just stop right there. There's a lot of people that spiritualize fleshly behavior. They boast and act like that what they're doing is because of their righteous indignation. Or they'll blame it on some kind of spiritual thing or call what they're doing a spiritual thing. But it's just self-seeking. It's just being interested in yourself and being full of bitter envy. He says, so don't boast and lie against the truth, against God's word, and try to spiritualize it. Make sure what you're doing is done in meekness. Don't try to spiritualize what you're doing when what you're doing is just being done out of selfishness, just being done out of the flesh. Verse 15, this wisdom does not descend from above. It doesn't come from God, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. That's the unholy trinity that's in this world. Sensuality, being sensual, earthly, demonic, devilish. It all works together. Verse 16. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing will be there. See, again, what are we attracting to ourselves? What are we attracting to ourselves? Where there's self-seeking and there's bitter envy, what's going to be there? Confusion. Confusion. And what else is going to be there besides confusion? Every evil thing. Every evil thing. It attracts evil. Demons. So that's why we can't allow it in our life. If you ever find yourself in confusion, that's a good time to just stop and say, no, 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 this does not come from God. This does not come from God. I am not wearing confusion. That's a good time right there. Just start praising God. Just start praising God. See, folks start getting worried. Oh, every evil thing's going to be here. The demons are coming. The demons are coming. You don't have to worry about that. I just told you you could change that as fast as you could change your clothes. This is not a problem. You can change it. If you can attract demons, you can attract the grace of God. You can attract angels. You can attract the Holy Spirit, God's power. You can attract all these things to you just as easily. You got to just change your clothes. I love how these things are spiritual clothing, that it's just likened to physical clothing. Because that tells me this is easy. We can do this. You know, unless you're a baby Christian, you know, babies can't dress themselves. Right? They can't dress themselves. They can't even change their diaper. They just sit there, they'll just sit there, and they'll just stay in that condition. Unless somebody comes over and helps them. So baby Christians is the same way. You got to help baby Christians. But if you're brand new, newborn baby in Christ, you're going to need people to help you. You're going to need people to help put these things on you and dress you up. You know, it's even more of a reason. Stay connected to the church and be connected to the body of Christ, because you need older Christians, older brothers and sisters in Christ to help get you dressed, to help you along with these things. But as we grow up, then we should be able to dress ourselves. We can always use help from other people, you know, with things, but nevertheless, we should get good at dressing ourselves. And walking in the things of God is as easy for a born-again child of God as it is for your natural body to get dressed. And if we get anything tonight, I just feel like I want to keep saying it until I really feel like it's absorbed. I don't feel like that's really being absorbed. And I think we really need to get a hold of that. It is that easy. People complicate it and make, this is so hard. Everything's so hard. And it really isn't. It really isn't. Just get changed. No, just get changed. If you can go, you can go, ha, ha, ha. Right? Why go, when you go, ha, ha, ha? You can do that just as easy. It's amazing how that is, isn't it? You know, the flesh is always like inhaling. And you can easily go. You can do it. You can do it. Are you going to do it? Or are you just going to? It's so hard. And I don't, hey, listen, I don't mind. Call the church. And I can help you slip into a new diaper. I can do that. But I'm just telling you, it gets to the point where you've got to start doing this now for yourself. We got to get good at this. Come on. Because we're growing up. We're a church growing up. We're growing Christians. We're not being sensual Christians and earthly Christians. And demonic Christians saying it's the Holy Spirit. And it's not the Holy Spirit. It's the flesh. It's the devil. It's deception. It's not spiritual. It's carnal. All right? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Humility attracts God's grace. Let God exalt you. Notice what he goes on to say. He says in verse 6, therefore humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. I love that. God's got a mighty enough hand to exalt you. Isn't that great? It's like, guys, relax. Stop exalting yourself. God can do it.
It's taking so long.
Let God do it. He has a big hand. He can lift you up. He can exalt you. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. Don't keep trying to exalt yourself. Trying to be impressive to others. Trying to prove yourself. Don't try to prove yourself. The Lord gave me a word a long time ago. He says, when you try to impress, you spiritually undress. That's what happens. Why? Because you're yielding to pride. You're stripping yourself of your humility, of your beautiful garments. When you try to impress outwardly, you spiritually undress. There's things that undress us. So we don't want to do it. We got to catch ourselves. Oh, no. I'm not trying to impress anybody. I don't have to prove anything to anybody. I don't have to force anything. I don't have to try to make it happen. God is mighty enough. He will lift me up. And see, that's humility. Humility just comes under God's mighty hand and lets God do it. Just submit to him. Submit to the leaders over your life. And verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. So a big part of pride is carrying cares. Exalting yourself and carrying cares. So worried, so anxious about your life, so concerned about everything turning out right. And all it is pride. Don't spiritualize it and try to act like it's for God and it's for the things of God and it's because of, no. If you're anxious, if you're burdened down with cares, you're in the flesh, you are stripping yourself of your spiritual garments, and you're just clothing yourself with pride. And pride is heavy. Pride is like, it's just, that's what's beautiful. You put God's garments on, it like lightens you up. But you start yielding to the flesh, it just weighs you down. Like you're carrying a ton of weight. Cares are spiritual weights that need to be casted. Cast your cares. Now listen, I got news for you. You can't cast out the devil until you cast off the cares. A lot of people want to deal with the devil. You can't deal with the devil if you walk around with cares. You're walking around carrying all the cares, and you're worried about your life, and then you're going to deal with the devil? Devil's going to look at you and go, he's going to laugh at you. You're carrying all these weights, all these cares? No, you got to cast them. And then once you cast the cares, because you're wearing humility, then you can cast out the devil. It's easy to cast out the devil when you're wearing humility. Why? Because when you're wearing humility, you're wearing exactly what Jesus Christ wore when he walked the earth. He wore that cloak of humility. He said, come, learn of me. I am meek and lowly, and you will find rest for your souls. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on humility. And man, all you have to do is look at the devil and go. He goes. Because you're wearing the Lord Jesus. You're not having to fight the devil. Wrestle with the devil. Thank God you don't have to wrestle with the devil. Hallelujah. Praise God forever. So somebody say, I'm casting all my cares on God. That's how you humble yourself. That's how you do it. How do you put on the cloak of humility? Say, Lord, I give that to you. I say, Lord, I give that to you. Oh, praise God. Everything just lightens right up. Light and easy. Light and my yoke is easy. My burden is light, is what Jesus said. Can you say amen? Oh, hallelujah. Humility cuts the devil off from having any place in your life. Just cuts him off. Praise God. Colossians chapter 3, and we'll close. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 reads, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on. Everybody say, put on. Put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. What does he tell us to do with these things? Put them on. Put them on. I'm trying to do it. I didn't ask you to try to do it. I just said put them on. Just put them on. Put on all these beautiful things, tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness. If you're not putting them on, then what do you have on? If you're not putting them on, what do you have on? Probably not very much or not anything good. Need to get it changed. And then we have victory. It's easy. It's easy, see? Because when you got saved, God gave this all, he gave you this wardrobe. It's like you don't have to go out shopping. I know it's a disappointment to some people. But you actually do not have to go out shopping for this. To me, that's a relief. Thank you, Jesus. Wouldn't it be nice? You never have to go shopping. This is to the men. Wouldn't it be nice? You just come home and it's all anything. It's all there. The jackets, everything you want, the clothing, it's all there. Praise God. I just lost half the congregation. The female half. They like hunting. Some of them do. I know some, not everybody, but some like hunting, clothing. But it's just so easy. It's all, he's already, Jesus, he went shopping for us. Oh, what girl wouldn't want that? Come on, Jesus goes shopping for you, and he comes in the house, and he lays it all out. Darling, sweetie, put it on. What do you want to wear tonight? And you look and go, oh, it's beautiful, it's gorgeous, it's amazing. Come and see the jewelry I bought you, love. Come, come, my love. See the jewelry that I have gotten for you. And you go in, he opens jewels. Come on. This is what he's done. You don't have to go out shopping for it. He already purchased it for you. He bought it for you with his blood, glory to God. It belongs to you. And he put the closet right on the inside of you. Reach inside yourself and put on these garments. Put on these ornaments. Put on these beautiful things. And put the devil on the run. Can you say amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Come on, stand on your feet with me tonight.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.